Hey, guess what? It's summer. I know, it might warm up. What do you think? I know, it's time for the heat to get, you know, I know, it's been hot. It's been hot. If it gets any worse, I don't know what's going to happen. But you know what comes with the summer, right? Those great afternoon thunderstorms. Don't you love those? Those are like, for those of us who love it, it's like a bell. Time to take a nap. Isn't it? Just, you know, I love thunderstorms, so this is one of the favorite things. Instead of, you know, hiding in a closet or something like that from them, I usually go on the front porch, back porch, in the car, anywhere, just to see a thunderstorm. It's so exciting. But do you remember one of those big gully washers we had not too long ago, and we were standing out here in the back, and one of the elders was there, and he said, you know, can't you do something about all this rain? And I said, well, to tell you the truth, I'm in sales, not management. But it comes to the summer, and I have to think that it's time to talk about the pace of summer. I am very happy that here in Florida, where I grew up, the pace didn't change. I went to South Carolina, and the pace there was about the same. It was fairly quiet during the summer. You didn't stress too much. Any of you who've actually been to South Carolina, and that would be anybody that was in the Army that went through Fort Jackson, that is, by the way, officially the back door to hell. And it's a screen door because it gets so hot in Columbia. I don't know why people complain about it all the time, but it gets hot here too. So my son's in Nashville. It was 100 and something the other day, and I'm like, in Nashville, they can't handle that. You know, the guitars melt, and it's terrible and all that. But we have a pretty humane pace here, I think. Roy Blount Jr. wrote this. He said, true grits, more grits, fish grits and collards, life is good where grits are swallowed. And what he means, of course, is living in the South and the pace of the South. He says, because I was born in the South, I'm a Southerner. If I'd been born in the North, the West, or the Central Plains, I would be just a human being. I don't know. That might be a bit much. But we are different here, and not everybody enjoys this slower pace that we try to get into during the summer. A bank advertising loan states, we can help when fast isn't fast enough. And for a lot of people, that's the way that they live their lives. I was discussing it with some of our folks about the pace of life in their these days, and I was shocked by the responses that I got from that. Best summarized as followed, I feel like I'm on the edge, stressed out, living with a sense of overload, with no roadmaps for escape. Well, that's not a good way to live. That's not a good way to be happy. Most of us live our lives inside what has been called the margin. And the margin is defined as that space existing between ourselves and the limits of the resources that we have and our abilities. However, living outside the margin is still a widespread epidemic. A newspaper ran an article recently describing how we are overloading ourselves. But you know who are really getting overloaded? Our children. Our children are hurt. We hurry them from one thing to another, from academics to athletics, with no downtime. I know one family over in Central Florida, their son was playing soccer and football and baseball all at the same time. I didn't know that was possible. I mean, aren't there seasons supposed? No, he was always doing something. I mean, how many of this is a real question. How many of you remember? Because I was walking with this guy in down, it doesn't matter where, and we were talking about the pace of life. And I said, do you remember when the first thing that happened in the morning is your mom shoved you outside, right? And you weren't to come back until the lights turned off outside, the road lights, right? Did that happen to anybody? There's a few of us here, yeah. Life was very different. I remember spending time laying in the grass and just watching clouds and not doing anything. And I look back, and maybe that's you know, why I didn't become rich and famous, because I was lazy. I don't know, you know, but just sitting there and enjoying that pace. But we kids don't get to do that anymore. And it leaks upward into parents as well. We find our inability to relax. So it's time for us to change that. The whole idea of a time bind raises issues, and I believe Jesus offers us some solutions, and it comes from today's scriptures. First, Jesus tells us it's not his will that his believers live in a time bind of exhaustion and stress. He makes this offer. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Yeah. We live in a culture that has totally geared to anything but rest. An advertising for instant oatmeal says, with a mom holding her small son under the caption, for moms who have a lot of love but not a lot of time, Nikki's a very picky eater. With instant oatmeal, I can give him a terrific breakfast in just 90 seconds, and I don't have to spend any time coaxing him to eat it. Another commercial flouts a quicker dinner from zero to fajitas in 8 minutes flat. Yeah. An article describes time-efficient moms who take the cell phone into the bathroom with them so they can talk while bathing the baby or answer emails while feeding their children. Speed, time efficiency, distorted priorities have become a celebrated dysfunction in our culture. And we are paying a tragic price for it, a price partially described in the book The Time Bind. The author gives a very compelling argument about how our work habits are bringing a strategic reversal in American culture, which she describes as when work becomes home and home becomes work. That is so easy to allow that to happen. After a three-year study of Fortune 500 companies, the author found workers rejecting policies that would allow them more time for family. When asked why, the universal answer was money is a higher priority than extra time. Her general conclusion was the idea of more time for family life seems to have died, gone to heaven, and become an angel of its own. Why? Because we invest in our work. The emotional significance often reserved for family. Fast isn't fast enough, is a lifestyle we will embrace because of the golden handcuffs of being able to accumulate more. In a book about speed on the electronics field entitled Inside the Tornado, the author describes the short product life of almost all electronic advances and the pressure of companies to produce something new. To stay alive, they have to come up with something new. Life becomes a race, and we personally opt to join that race because of distortions in our value system. I mean, do you really need the fastest iPhone? Are you going to talk faster? I've seen some of you text. Your fingers don't go any faster than they did before. But there's something about it. Carol Obson takes the four steps to breaking the superwoman routine in her book, Enough is Enough. She says, first, think of something you'd like to do that would be a complete waste of time. Do that. It's a complete waste of time for you. Second, ask yourself if this activity has any redeeming value whatsoever. And third, if it does, think of something else and do that. Enough is enough. Jesus suggests that we are burdened and heavy laden, not because of pressures from our exterior environment, but because of something that is going on within us, within our hearts, a distortion of our values and goals that have led us to reject his offer of rest. It's clear Jesus does not want his followers to live weary and overburdened lives. Which leads us to a second truth in the text. Breaking free from the time bind requires a supernatural change in our values and priorities. Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me means to submit, to come under the authority of Jesus. Using the metaphor of a double oxen yoke, Jesus describes his desire to partner with us as we seek to bring his kind of balance to our lives. He claims that the yoke is easy, his burden is light, as we choose to partner with him in making our decisions about the investment of our time and energies. And the bottom line is, we can live responsible lives following his priorities without burning up and burning out. To understand our Lord's offer of rest, look at his day timer during his earthly ministry. He modeled balance in his life, taking time to withdraw for prayer and downtime. After a period of hectic ministry, he would do that, and relationships were his first priority, relationships with his Heavenly Father and casual times with his friends as well. So let's be honest, any change in the pace of our lives raises some very practical problems. You know, we still have to pay the mortgage. We might want certain things. Maybe there's a certain social circle that we have to keep up with. You might want to be working on a degree, you know, something, career goals perhaps. Downsizing in a family demands that you do the job of two people because there's plenty of people standing behind you wanting it. And we are retired and we find that we're busier than ever. Does that one ring for you all? Somebody asked me, when are you going to retire? And I said, are you kidding? That's too much work. So what do we do? What do we do? James Angel says the renewing of our minds occurs in the process of moving back and forth between the worlds of hanging loose and hanging tight. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. All play and no work makes Jack a vain, self-centered jerk. So what are we going to do? Let's take a moment and turn to Jesus. His wisdom about money, what will it profit people to gain the whole world and lose their own souls? He called the man who only hoarded his wealth and coveted more, he called him a fool, telling us that if we have food, clothing, and a roof over our heads, we should be content, revealing the simple life is the good life, and that amazing things and wealth has little to do with finding joy and contentment. Have you ever considered how much attention that we give to our money every day? And in the mind of Jesus, those prosperous times might not be the best of times. Some of us might need to break free from the time bind to celebrate a more simple lifestyle, maybe by downsizing and refusing to get on the treadmill of seeking more of everything and deciding that, you know what, enough really is enough. And rather than hoarding more, give away some. That decision leads to one thing, and that is freedom. Secondly, consider the Lord's wisdom about prioritizing our time. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. I have observed that people who give priority time to God's kingdom business always seem to have time for other things. One of the busiest people I know is a chairman of an international company in Atlanta and a faithful elder in his church up there. He makes decisions that affect the livelihood of thousands of employees, and yet he serves on the board of that church, helps to do projects and building projects at Habitat. That's how he and I met. But he can be relied upon to help with anything, sorting clothes or at a free store that we had for the homeless. Many husbands and wives make time to be with each other and with their children regardless of the sacrifice. Many single Christians cope with loneliness not by retreating to the office, but by making time to cultivate friendships. Jesus would help us understand the true treasure of life. They include time spent with family and friends, time spent serving, sharing, relating to people in need, time spent in daily prayer, relating to God. I've never heard anyone say, if they reflect back on their lives, I spent too much time with family and friends. Adding the note at this point, our church has a responsibility for this. And we make a close analysis of the leadership of the church and how much pressure are we putting on them. And there's a lot of pressure. We have a wonderful board of deacons and elders, and they are working hard. They really are. And we try to keep an eye on them that they don't work too hard. We don't want them to burn out. And we actually suggest to the committees that it's a good idea that once they have served for a year, it might be time to ask them to step down from the committee. Because you know, if you've been in church long enough and they ask you to be on a committee and you say yes, it's a life sentence, right? I mean, that's pretty much the way that it works, but it shouldn't. It shouldn't work that way. Thirdly, we relate the Lord's wisdom about rest to the most neglected of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Our personal and national disobedience of this command is a major contributor to our time bind. God created us with a need for downtime, time set apart to worship and to rest and to reflect. Everyone needs this downtime. Spencer Tracy was once asked what he looked for in a movie script, and he said, days off. Yeah. Now, it will take a miracle for us to change our priorities, but as Christians, we believe in miracles because we believe Jesus can change people and Jesus can change us. And I believe that learning to partner with Jesus and finding his rest as our method to cope with the fast isn't fast enough syndrome is a critical issue for all of us. And it can mean physical, emotional, relational, and spiritual life or death. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let us pray. Our Father, we are in this sanctuary today, and the stress of being here, getting here on time, being in the right place, doing the right thing, all of that is past now. And as we move through this time of worship with you and with each other, we pray that you give us souls that are ready and willing and eager to just rest and be in your presence. We thank you for that opportunity, but we also thank you for that responsibility, not just to ourselves, but to our families and friends and this church. And we thank you for that from the bottom of our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.